Mark chapter 4. Go flip to Mark chapter 4. And tonight we're going to finish up. I got a little bit ahead of the Lord, so we don't want to get ahead of the Lord. But tonight we're going to finish up this series that we've been doing on the law of life. And Sunday I'll be ministering and we're going to kick off the Champion Spirit series. And then we're going to continue on that on the Wednesday night services that we have. So we want to be obedient to the Lord, and I'm excited about ministering things on that. But we're just not quite finished yet with this, and we're going to finish it up tonight. Are you ready? Now, as you hear tonight, as you listen tonight, you know, you can sit in a service like this, not pay attention, you know, be here, and then you zone out, and then 15 minutes are going by, and you're thinking, what's going on? You can, your spirit will not get fed like that, right? To be fed spiritually by the Word of God, you have to be engaged spiritually. And the way that you engage spiritually is that you pay attention, right? Make eye contact. Nod. If we ask for a response, you're not just responding to a man, you're responding to God. You're responding to the Holy Spirit, right? So we want to make sure, engage spiritually. Part of the Champion Spirit is we not only want to be in the service, we want to be in the service. Right? You ever heard the lights are on but nobody's home? If you've ever preached, you've saw that look before, right? We don't want to be like that, because that's not, you'd be better off just being at home. So we not only want to be here, we actually want to be here, okay? So pay attention, right? Okay? Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 4, verse 26, Jesus said this. He said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Now, what is the kingdom of God? That is God's way of doing things. So he is teaching on God's way of doing things, and he says, this is what God's way of doing things is like. He said, it's like a man who casts seed into the ground. And the man sleeps and rises night and day. The seed should spring and grow up, and he doesn't know how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Now, he said the kingdom of God is like this man sowing seed into the ground. So he said to teach about God's way of doing things, he used natural farming, because there are similarities between the two. And in the farming, there is a farmer, isn't there? And that farmer takes seed and he puts it where? Into the ground. And then from the ground springs up not just the fruit, not just the thing that he's wanting to grow, but it springs up as some kind of vine, some kind of tree, some kind of plant. And then off of that thing comes the fruit, okay? Well, he said the kingdom of God is like that. So in the kingdom of God, you and I are the spiritual farmers of our own life, okay? Now, he taught in Mark chapter 4, and he said the word of God is the seed, isn't it? So in the kingdom of God, there's a farmer, that's you. In the kingdom of God, there's seed, that's the word. In the kingdom of God, there is ground. Does anybody know what the ground is? It's your heart, isn't it? And then when you put the word into your heart, it begins to grow up and become something, doesn't it? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, what it grows up and becomes. Because when you put the word in your heart, it starts growing faith on the inside of you. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Now, look at the verse, because the verse said, first the blade. That's small, isn't it? And then what did it say next? Then the ear. That's a little bigger, isn't it? And then after that, the full corn in the ear. So it's showing you progression and development, isn't it? And that's like faith, because, you know, when you first hear something, your faith is not that big, is it? But the more you hear it, like just like right now, if I started preaching on how big God is, you know, if I said God's big, you'd say amen. Now, if I started going to verse after verse after verse about how big he is, how good he is. See, even as I'm talking now, what's happening? When I first say it, it's just a little bit, but the more I talk, the more you hear, it starts getting bigger on the inside of you, doesn't it? Well, see, that's what happens with faith. Faith grows. And as you spend time in the Word, that faith will grow and develop. Now, like an apple tree that is 4 feet high won't give you any apples. Why? Because it's not finished developing. So should you cry, get discouraged, throw away all your CDs and notes, and say, I'm not living for God anymore, because this 4-foot apple tree is not giving me any apples. No, you just stick with it. Amen. You just stay in it. And how will you know when it's developed? When it starts giving fruit. So the only way it would not give fruit is if you root it up, quit, cut it down, stop nourishing it before it's ready. So you stick with it, don't you? So now when you put the word in you, it starts to grow faith. Okay? And faith that starts off small will grow and develop. The more that you feed it, the more that you nourish it, the more that you hear the word, faith's going to get bigger, isn't it? Okay? And I'm so excited about this tonight. Today was an exciting day. I study this and then I whisper preach it to myself. You know, I'm talking about, I'm preaching it to myself as I'm studying this. So I'm excited about this today. You ever whisper yelled? Amen. Yeah, see, that's a whisper yell. I preach this to myself and say, amen, that's good, Holy Spirit. Thought about taking an offering for myself, but I didn't. Now, let's go to the next verse of Scripture. Can you find Proverbs chapter 27? Proverbs chapter 27. So now, we finished with this point last week. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 said, the word of God was preached to us as well as unto them, but it didn't profit them because it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, I was talking about the children of Israel and Joshua and Caleb, and they all heard that this is your promised land. They all heard that I, God, will go and get in the midst of you, and I'll drive out the Hittites and the Canaanites, and I'll drive. They all heard that. But those words only profited some of them. And the reason it profited some of them and not others of them is because some of them mixed it with faith and others of them didn't. So some of them heard it and didn't believe it. Others of them heard it and believed it. And the ones that believed it, that's who it profited. So now it's important that when you hear the word of God, the way that you, if you have an apple seed and you want that to become an apple, then you need to take that seed from seed to tree, don't you? Because the seed itself won't get you anything until it actually becomes a tree, and then the tree is going to yield the fruit. But if it stays in seed form, then you're never going to see any apples from it. So you got to take it from seed to blade, ear, full core. It's got to get, see, there's progression, isn't there? And fruit is last. So now, when you hear the word of God, you got to take it from word to faith. Right? Did I say that clear enough? You got to take it from word to faith tree. From word seed to faith tree. In other words, you can hear the word, but if you don't meditate it, if it doesn't become faith, then you're not going to ever see any fruit of it. I mean, I can get up here and preach to a room full of sick people on healing. And let's say if 50% of them can take that word home, meditate it, declare it, confess it, stand on it, believe it, develop faith, and all get healed. And this bunch could hear the same word and just say, amen at church, and be done with it. And if it doesn't ever become faith in their hearts, then they won't see the healing like they would. Scripture is what I just quoted to you. He said some it worked for and some it didn't work for. And it wasn't because God was saying, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, you it'll work for, you it'll work for, but not you. No, it was because some of them turned that word into faith. I mean, I imagine when God told Joshua and Caleb that I'm going to drive out the Hittites and the Canaanites and the Jebusites and all that, and they went and looked at the walls and the giants, I'm certain that they probably thought, oh, okay, well, you know, we believe God. Okay, Lord, we're not moved by that. Amen. You know, I'm sure that their mind was thinking, this looks tough. See, they had an opportunity to not believe as well. But what did they do? They spent time with that word. When they came back, what did they say? We're well able. We're well able. Maybe their minds was going, I don't know if you're well able. What are they doing? They're giving their thoughts, giving their attention to God's word. Faith is growing. Faith is growing. What did the others say? We can't go in. Well, see, were they spending time with God's word? No, so see, that word seed that God gave them never got into their hearts and never became faith. And see, the word that you hear preached, if it never becomes faith in your heart, then it will never profit you. That's why you got to be careful. Well, we've heard that before. Oh, we know that. Oh, we done been around that revelation. We got it. You know, some of the most, and I say successful, I mean, you know, that's just the way I'm, some of the most successful people, believers that I know, ministers that I follow and I've learned from, the funny thing about them is they are still teaching the same thing that they taught 30 and 40 years ago. Now, it might be a little different, might be a little bit more in depth, might be, but they're still teaching the basics. I mean, I heard this one minister's been in the ministry 45 years, and I'm telling you, flourishing, I mean, just out, like this ministry, just outstanding. I mean, just all kinds of good stuff. I think somebody mentioned, I don't think he said this, but somebody else mentioned this one day when they were preaching. He still gets the CDs of this guy that's younger than him now. He still gets all his CDs and takes them home and still listens to all the CDs. I was thinking, you think if you've been in the ministry 45 years, you might have the opportunity to think, well, I'm past that. No, it's still the basics. Still got to have time in the Word every day. Doesn't matter if I've been in it 50 years, 10 years, one day. Still got to have it every day. And see, some of the way that you're going to get strong is you get strong in the basics. Right? And that was extra because, you know, that wasn't planned. But I said that to say this. If the word you hear doesn't become faith, it's not going to be of use to you. That's why we're encouraging to write things down. Why? So that you can take it back home and go over it again. Look at it again. Because the words you hear in church does not profit you until it becomes faith in your heart. Amen. It's got to go from word seed to faith. Right. And so that's we're not condemning anybody here, but that's been the failure of the believer. A lot of us have come to church and heard some stuff, but we haven't gone home and taken that word from word to faith. And see, when it becomes faith, then you now have the potential to see the actual fruit of that word in your life. And if we preach on joy, what do we want you to do? We want you to bear the fruit of joy. If we preach on freedom from fear, we want you to bear that fruit, to be free from fear. But you got to take the word that you hear preached home with you, because how does faith come? Not by hearing once. By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That means over and over again. God didn't say meditate the word one day a week and you'll make your... He said meditate it day and night. You got to be constantly putting in so that it will grow. And what are you trying to grow? You're trying to grow faith in your heart. Because if you start having faith in God, then anything's possible for you, right? Amen. But a lot of times we've thought faith starts with a decision, right? You got to make the decision, I'm going to believe God. But faith in itself is not a one-time event. It is first the blade. Then the ear is a process. It's a growing process. And so many times we like to just think, well, I'm just going to make the... You don't stop after you make the decision to believe. After you make the decision to believe, then you have to engage the activities necessary to then develop that belief in your life. Because I don't know if this is a revelation to you, but there is one out there that's trying to get you to not believe. And if every time pressure comes on you, you have a nervous breakdown, what that shows is you might need some development. Yes. Right? I mean, you know, you're believing for finances and a $5 bill shows up at your house that you didn't expect. And you cry all your makeup off. Well, that just shows that maybe you could develop a little bit in your faith. Right? So, we'll talk about that. Have you found Proverbs 27 yet? Okay. So, faith comes by hearing the word. And as you saturate your heart with the word of God continually, concerning your area of need, faith will grow and develop. And see, that's what you got to ask yourself. What is my area of need tonight? What fruit do I want to bear? If you've been battling depression, then the area that you want to develop in is joy. Amen. So you want to spend time with the word on joy. You don't want, I mean, if you're battling depression, it's not going to do any good for you to spend time on end time events. That's good, but you need joy. Right. You'll start spending time on end time events and get discouraged because you're going to die someday. Right. You got to find, what area of need do I need to develop? Do I need to bear fruit? Then I got to go get the word seed that will create the faith in my heart to believe what God says, and it'll turn a depressed person into a joyful person. A worried person into a person that just don't care. That's scriptural terminology. I don't care. I don't have a care. Right? Okay. Now, I'm gonna read this as soon as I finish saying this last point of this. The seeds that a tree to develop, natural tree to develop. It not only needs to be planted. We know it needs to be planted in good ground, right? And we haven't really dealt a lot with that, but, you know, just keep your heart clean. You know, I mean, if you miss it, repent. Right? If you got unforgiveness, then, you know, let go of it, right? It starts with the decision. Let go. See, if you're dealing with unforgiveness, you know what kind of scriptures you need to hear? You need to hear scriptures on holding unforgiveness. And as you spend time with that and develop that in your life, you'll begin to get faith to let it go. But see, you can't just say, well, okay, fine, I'm going to release that. You got to start with the Word. The scripture said, forgive as Christ forgave you. I'll tell you what would move you to forgive. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 18 when the guy owed a debt to the other guy? And it was a big debt. He forgave him. And then this guy that got forgiven of the debt was owed a lot less by another person, and he didn't forgive him. And what did Jesus say? He said, this guy, because you don't forgive the way that you were shown grace, you're going to end up in the lake of fire, in hell, and all that stuff. That'll motivate you to let it go. See, if you'd spend time meditating on that, it wouldn't be long for you to think, okay, yeah, it doesn't matter what they did to me. But a lot of times, see, we endeavor to do these things apart from the Word. You can't do it apart from the Word. If you didn't need this book, He wouldn't have wrote it for you. Right? Now you'd be shocked at Christians who try to do Christianity with a t-shirt and a favorite song and a bumper sticker. Now, I'm not against a t-shirt. I got some. I don't have a bumper sticker yet, but if I find one I like, I'm sure I'd slap it on the back. I'm not against that, but you can't have that without this. You got to have this. And then, you know, put it on your hat. Do whatever you want. I mean, get fish wallpaper, whatever you want to do. But you got to start with the Word, no matter what you're needing to deal with. Okay. Now, Proverbs 27. Okay. Well, I didn't finish saying what I was going to say. See, I keep trying to move on, then my helper stops me. Okay, the natural tree to grow, it not only needs to be planted in good ground, which we said, you know, that's just be repentant, you know, be quick to repent. Quick to, you know, to don't have things between you and God. He knows it. You know, something I found out about the Holy Spirit just a couple weeks ago, I did something that I was certain grieved Him. And what I do is, you know, I mean, I don't know about you, but what I have a tendency to do is if you miss it, the last thing you want to do is go talk to the Holy Spirit about it. Why? Because you think, oh, I'll just take some time away from Him, then, you know, come back later. The Holy Spirit is as forgiving as the Father. And he said to me, even when you've grieved me, He said, I'm endeavoring to get you to come back so there doesn't have to be stuff between you and me. So that we can go on. So just keep your heart clean. If you missed it, repent. Right? Well, I've missed it in the same area 68 times. You know, you're not the only one that's did that. No, I've never done that. No, I'm kidding. That's not true. But you're not the only one that's done that. He didn't say I'd forgive you as long as it's not in the same area. Right? If you repent, you confess it, He forgives you. Now, that's not a license for you to sin. Right? But you need to get forgiveness and move on. Okay? So you got to have a good ground, good heart. Now, but what else does it need a seed to grow? It needs water. And it needs light, doesn't it? And if you don't give a seed water and light, it's not going to grow. Now, spiritually, this word in Ephesians 5:26, it talked about being washed with the water of the Word. And then in Psalm 119, it talked about the Word being light. So see, my point was, when you begin to put the Word in you, it is not only the seed, but it is the light, it is the water. So as you saturate yourself with the Word of God, whatever area you need in, you're giving it the water, the light, the seed sown, and faith will grow. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now, Proverbs chapter 27 here. Now, Proverbs 27, let's deal with this next point. You're with me so far. This is good already, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Proverbs 27. It says in verse 18. Now, remember, it's the faith tree, right? Whoso keeps the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, and so he that waits on his master shall be honored. Now, verse 19, so I don't want to look to him. We'll come back to verse 18 later. It says, as in water, face answers to face, so the heart of man to man. Now, that's the King James Version. I'm going to read it to you out of the NIV. The NIV in verse 19 says this. Listen closely. As water reflects face, So one's life reflects the heart. Now, what are we saying? I can't look into a lake and see your face. Why? Because the lake only has the potential, our mirror, you know, to reflect back to me what is looking at it. So you're not going to look in your mirror tomorrow morning and see me, unless I'm there behind you, and I won't be. The only thing you're going to see in a mirror is you, because it only has the potential to reflect back to you what is looking at it. Now, the same way, your life is a reflection of your heart. And if it wasn't in your heart, then it could not be in your life, because your life is a reflection of what's in your heart. And if it, look, if it's not in the mirror, then it's not on your face. You understand? And if it's not in your life, it's because it's not in your heart. Because your heart and your life can't be two different things. Spiritual law says that whatever's growing in your heart is what you have in your life. Spiritual law. Now, we didn't say that to put you in condemnation, but recognize that's the reality. Don't argue with the Bible. It's right. Right? Go to one more verse with me. Well, I shouldn't say one more. Flip over to another one. Go to Proverbs 23, just back a few chapters. Spiritual law says you can't believe one thing in your heart and have another thing in your life. You can't believe that Jesus is your Lord and that God raised him from the dead and stay unsaved. Why? Because you can't believe that and have something different. You can't have an apple tree that produces oranges. Right? You can't believe one thing in your heart and have another in your life. Are you following this now? Look what it says in Proverbs 23:7, familiar verse of Scripture. It says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now watch it. So he is, as he thinks or believes in his heart. So the man has no potential to be something different in life than what he believes in his heart. Because his life is merely a reflection of what's in his heart. And he can't be something different in life that he's not in his heart. So if the man believes he's depressed, he can't be full of joy. Come on. If he believes that he has a fear problem, he can't be free from fear. If he believes he's addicted, then he can't be free. See, it's not get the result first and then believe I have it. Okay, well, when I stop smoking cigarettes, then I don't smoke cigarettes. But if you do, then you know God will deliver you from that. But I'll believe I'm free from cigarettes when I stop smoking them. That's like looking at the fireplace and saying, give me a fire and I'll give you some wood. That's backwards. And see, what you have to do is belief comes first. So now what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to believe that you are free. Free man, free woman, now. So I believe I'm free from smoking these cigarettes now. Now, whether or not the fruit shows up right away, I believe I'm free. I told you the story about the guy that was battling that month after month. People spit on him, prayed on him, laid hands on him, threw his cigarettes away, cast demons out of him, cast spirits into him, did all kinds of stuff, and couldn't get free. And then one minister gave him this revelation that I'm giving you to start believing that you were free. And he said, do you mean I should stop smoking? He said, no. He said, just whatever you do, believe you're free and say, just keep saying, I'm free from smoking these cigarettes. I'm free. He'd say, you mean why I'm smoking them? He said, yes. Why are you smoking them? Just say, between puffs, I'm free from these cigarettes. What's he doing? He's building faith, isn't he? Now, what's the verse? But now being made free from sin. Being made free. Whoever Jesus has set free is free indeed. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Right? If you want to be free from it, then there's freedom available. But what do you got to do? You got to believe you're free now. And see, the biggest challenge is, well, I'm smoking cigarettes. How can I believe I'm free from something I'm smoking? That's faith. Not moved by what I see. Not moved by what I do. Just kept believing. He felt stupid a couple times. But see, what's happened? He's believing something different than what he sees. And he was out there one day and began to hit on the pack and started lighting one up. He said, I'm free from these. I don't want these cigarettes no more. Went to church 3 weeks later. Oh, Brother Keith, you'll never guess what happened. And he had a big smile. So he said, I knew what happened. He said, I'm free from smoking. He said, you mean you saying that by faith? He said, no, I ain't smoking anymore. See, it came from belief based on what God said. Now, the tree always has to come from this seed. So you can't believe for another wife when you got one. Now, you can believe she loves you more, treats you better, and all that stuff, but you can't have two. It's got to come from this seed. If it's not in the bag of the word, then you don't get to have it. You don't want to have it, okay? Now, what scripture do I have yet? Praise the Lord. Proverbs 23:7. Okay, let's look at one another one here. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. So now, whatever... God said this to me just right before I came. He said, your life is the fruit of what you believe. And what you believe is the fruit of the words that you allow into your heart. Come on, get the revelation. My life can't be different than what I believe. That's how God set the system up. These are verses that I'm reading you. And I'm going to get ready to give you a slew of a bunch more of them. But this already said it twice in Proverbs. It already gave you two pictures that whatever the heart of the man is. Two times. Now, the third time is in Proverbs 23 because it says, out of your heart, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart come the issues of life. So there's three times in Proverbs. I mean, if God would have said it once, it would have been important, but he said it three times in one book that your life is a reflection of what you believe in your heart. And you can't be something different outside that you aren't inside. And see, Jesus taught, remember when he said, he was talking to the Pharisees and he said, he called them something. You know, something hypocrite or something. He said, you're trying to make the outside clean and the inside's not clean. And what did he tell him? He was saying, if you want the outside to be clean, you got to start with the inside. Now, that goes for them, but you know who else it goes for? Us. And see, we got to recognize that change in the kingdom of God begins from the inside out. Now, listen, I'm not just talking about character changes, you know. I'm talking about change where your joy is concerned. I'm talking about change where your peace is concerned. I'm talking about change where your finances are concerned. That happens from the inside out. You got to believe you're prosperous. You got to see God as your source. You got to believe that you have more than enough. It starts inside out. Your financial prosperity doesn't begin at your job. It begins at your heart. And if you see yourself as broke and you see yourself as not having enough and you see yourself as scrunching pennies, that's what you will be. But if you believe, every time I have a need, God is there in abundance. Amen. Right? No matter what the need is, I always have more than enough. I'm telling you, me and Amber had to put some tires on some cars. You know that tire is just no fun. I mean, it's fun because it keeps you on the road. But, you know, I mean, just rubber. I mean, just tires. You know, just tires. Just, you know, stuff you got to have and you need to get, but you just would rather not spend money on it. I mean, nobody minds going to spend, I wouldn't mind going to spending $500 on golf clubs. That'd be fun. But tires, just, you know, whatever. So we had to get them. Well, you know, I mean, that cost us close to $1,000. Well, they told me, the guy that I took my truck in, he said, you got to get some new tires on this truck. He said, I'm not even telling you to get them here because you can get them cheaper somewhere else. But for your safety, get some new tires on the truck. So we did that. And then Pastor Ron saw Amber's car, and he, you know, they were bad. You know, I didn't know it. I mean, I'm a young kid, still wet behind the ears. I mean, I don't pay attention to that stuff. But I do now. Learning, right? I know when you were young, you never did anything stupid. I know. Yeah, that's just me. but I wasn't paying. So anyway, so we need $1,000. Well, you know, I mean, that's that. Just right now, it won't be that way always, but right now I didn't have $1,000 in my pocket. Now, there'll be a day very soon that I'll just be able to, you know, just come out. But God makes it so I always have more than enough, if I'll believe that. So one thing that I confess in nearly every day, not every day, but nearly every day, is that God makes all grace abound towards me so that I always have more than enough, no matter what the need is. So what if the need's tires? More than enough. So what do you think happened? We went from zero to 1,000. Just here it comes. Like that. Now, what did God need me to do? He just needed me to believe. Right? Now, he gets the glory. I mean, we're not going to praise my faith. I mean, dear God. We're going to praise him. It was by his grace that happened. But he had to have a way into my life. And if I'm walking around, you know, saying, Amber, I don't know what we're going to do. We can't afford it. I'm not believing anything. So if I don't have the tree, I can't get the fruit. I got to have the tree, right? And then God will get involved in making that tree yield the fruit, right? And I'm telling you, it was just miraculous. I mean, somebody comes in, pays for the truck tires, and I'm, you know, meeting with some guys the other day, and this guy says, here, I want you to have this. I open up the envelope, $300 in there. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm excited about that. You're next, right? You're next. Somebody said, amen, I'm next. Why? Because that's the God we serve, right? We got to stay in faith, do our job, don't we? Now, see, my life had no choice but to be a reflection of what was in my heart. Okay, now, what scripture yet? Okay, we quoted that one, so you can let that one go. Go to Matthew 15. Now, what point are we making to you? Life can't be different than what's in your heart because it's a reflection of what's in your heart. So now listen here as you're flipping there to Matthew 15. Can you flip and listen at the same time? You're a smart bunch. Whatever beliefs we have growing in our heart is going to determine what we get in life. Let me read it again. Whatever beliefs, you could say whatever trees we have growing in our heart, you could say growing in our garden. Remember we read in 1 Corinthians 3, you are God's garden. He's endeavoring to get his word into you so that his word will bring forth fruit. Whatever beliefs, whatever trees we have growing in our heart or in our garden is going to determine what we get in life or what we eat. Did you hear me? The faith is the tree. Whatever tree you plant in your garden. You know, if you have a garden at home and you only plant tomatoes in there, you know you're not going to get any cucumbers. Why? Because it's based on what you put in there. Now, what are we saying? Whatever beliefs is in your heart, you better make it to fit you good because that's what you're going to get in your life. We need to develop a better spiritual situational awareness. Spiritual situational awareness. Be aware of what you're doing in your current situation and how that's going to affect what you get in your life. You can sit there and be discouraged for 3 weeks if you want to. But if you get in unbelief, it's going to start bearing some fruit. So I need to get in this word and make the decision that no matter what pressure comes, I'm going to keep the tree developing. I'm going to keep it growing because my life's going to match that tree. So if it's good, it's going to be good. If it's not good, it's not going to be good. Okay? Now, life is coming from what's growing in your heart. In Matthew chapter 8, remember the centurion with his servant? Remember him? He said, my servant's sick at home with the palsy. And what did he say? He said, Jesus, speak the word only. And every time I think about that thrill. Because it said Jesus marveled at his faith. I mean, man, you've done something. When Jesus looks at you and said, that's faith, man. Isn't that what you want Jesus to look at you? Man, look at him. 6 months, 8 months, bad report, negative report. The doctor said this. Bill came in. Look at him. Just marveling at your faith. He marveled. What did he say? He said, Jesus, speak the word only, and he will be made whole. Now, what did that guy believe? He believed if Jesus spoke, his servant would be made whole. Is that what his tree is saying? And tell me what happened in that man's life. Jesus spoke, and that man was made whole just like he believed. And then here comes Jairus. Anybody remember Jairus? And what did he say? He said, Jesus, my daughter is sick at home with the palsy. No, I'm far. That's another one. My daughter is sick at home at the point of death. But if you come and lay your hands on her, she will live. Tell me what he believes. He believes if Jesus comes and touches her, she's going to get up. Is that his tree? Does anybody know what happened to Jairus? Jesus walked in the house, laid his hand, just like what the tree said is what the exact fruit. And here's the woman with the issue of blood. What did she believe? If I touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Is that her tree? And tell me what fruit it produced. She touched the hem of his garment, and then here it comes. She's made whole, just like her tree. And then here comes another woman. Everybody remember the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was vexed with the devil? And she said, Jesus, just cut my daughter sick, you know, and she's vexed with the devil. And Jesus said, it's not right for me to give the children's bread to the dogs. Now, I mean, if most of us today would have heard that, we would have got offended by what Jesus said. But what did she say? She said, well, even the dogs. Now, what is she agreeing? She said, you call me a dog, I must be. That's faith. Do you hear it? What is faith? Faith is agreeing with what the master says. You call me a dog, I must be. And she said, even the dogs eat bread from the children's table. And what did Jesus do? He went, oh, man, great faith. Great faith. And he said this to her. He said, as you will, be it done unto you. What did she believe? She believed Jesus could and would and was going to heal her daughter. And exactly what she believed is exactly the fruit that showed up. Are you seeing a trend here? So now in Matthew 17, the disciples come over here. You don't have to flip there. You can write it down. The disciples try to cast the devil out of this person. And it didn't work, did it? So they got Jesus apart and they said, Jesus, how come we couldn't get the devil out of him? And what did he say? He said, because of your unbelief. He said, you didn't get the fruit because you don't have the tree. Do you hear it? See, they couldn't get something in life that they didn't have in their heart. And Jesus said, you didn't have the tree for it, so that's why you didn't get the fruit. But he went on to say, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, and if we'll have time, well, we might not have time, but if you had that faith would grow and develop, and then nothing would be impossible for you. So he's saying, you can do it, but you tried to do it without the tree. And see, that's what a lot of Christians do. We're trying to get a result without a tree. We're wanting something to happen in our life without growing it in our heart. You know, we hear a message and we want to grow something. I want to prosper, find, amen. You got to grow that. That it doesn't grow off one message. It doesn't grow off of, you know, an hour-long message on Wednesday night. It starts like that, and that'll cultivate the growth and help the growth, but you need to water it, cultivate it daily. How come they couldn't get the result? They didn't have the tree. You know, just maybe you're not getting the result yet because you don't have the tree yet. Right? Maybe you're just in the process. Well, the good news is, just stick with it. Because I'm telling you, when that tree gets grown up and develops, you better look out, because here you better get the trucks, call the friends, put the streamers out and have the party, because here it comes. See, the key to results lies in consistency. Just keep going. Just keep going. Just keep going, right? If you continue in the word, then you'll know the truth, and truth will make you free. How about this? Jesus went to his hometown, and he couldn't do any mighty works there, could he? And why couldn't he do any mighty works there? Because of their unbelief. So see, they couldn't get the fruit of his mighty works because they didn't have the belief in their heart. Is this making sense to you? See, you can't get a different result than what you have in your heart. Why? Because a man's life is a reflection of what's in his heart. You can't get oranges with no orange tree. You can't get apples with no apple tree. You can pray for an apple tree. You can confess it. You can believe it. We can prophesy it over you. But you are not getting an apple tree until you sow some seed. And we can prophesy over you and spit on you and teach to you and confess over you and pray over you. But you got to take the word and put it in your own heart and stick with that word and grow it up until it develops. You know what? If I want to lay hands on people and see them made whole, do you know what I need to do? I need to meditate the verse on laying hands on people and seeing them made whole. I need to get that in me. Right? Sure. Whatever I want in my life, I need to start send it to the heart. Right? My goodness. Mark chapter 9. Jesus said this. A guy brought him his son. He said, Jesus, he's having epileptic seizures, fits, or, you know, just vexed with the devil. He said, if you can do anything, help us. What did Jesus say? If you can believe, this is possible. You know what he's saying? If you can get the tree, you can have the fruit. Come on, are you seeing this now? If what that man believed didn't matter, then Jesus would have just went and healed his boy. But see, your faith matters. And it's a key component in whether or not God can get involved in your life. And people for years have been trying to demean the importance of our faith. Sure. And saying, well, you know, it really doesn't matter. I mean, you know, it's all in God's hands and, you know, it's all, you know, no. If it didn't matter, he would have never addressed it. If it didn't matter, he would have healed everybody in his hometown. If it didn't matter, they all would have went into the promised land. If faith didn't matter.
Right, that's very good.
It does matter. And it is, I'm telling you, it is the issue. And the reason it is the issue, because grace is not fluctuating.
Amen.
Grace is not failing. Grace is on the other side of your door saying, please get in faith, because I'm ready.
Come on, that's right. That's good.
So now the only thing left up for us to talk about is whether or not you're going to believe. And then we're going to have to teach you how to believe. And then teach you again. And then after we teach it again, we're just going to have to come back 6 months later and help you develop and help you grow. It is all about his grace. But you got to get in faith. More faith, more grace.
Amen.
Period. You can't, you know, we all get excited about our revelation, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, our denomination's revelation, our camp's revelation, you know, that's the most important one. And we're the only ones that know anything, really. I know you've never thought like that. You don't get so overbalanced with your one revelation, because we need them all.
Amen.
And we need to be extreme with all of them.
Uh-huh.
We need to be uncompromising with all of them. But the problem is God gives people revelation and they get so far over in that ditch, that's it. That they don't. Everything else means nothing, and this is the only thing.
Uh-huh.
No, you need all the ditches to come together,
yeah.
Right? You need all of them, right? We need faith. Well, I guess I'm closing because I'm about out of time here. Let me go through the rest of this. What did Jesus say? If you can believe, all things are possible to you. If you can get the tree, then you can have the fruit, right? Barnabas came to Jesus and he was blind. And he asked Jesus, you know, Jesus said, what do you want? He said, I want to receive my sight. What did he believe? He believed Jesus could do it, didn't he? He believed Jesus would do it, otherwise he wouldn't be there. What happened to Bartimaeus? Exactly what he believed is what showed up in his life. Come on.
Yep.
How about in Daniel chapter 3? What did the three Hebrews believe? Come on, our God whom we serve is able. Not only is he able, but watch it, he will. He will, he will, he will. What did they get? Exactly what they believed. How about Daniel in the lion's den? What did he believe? He must have believed my God's going to deliver me. Otherwise, he wouldn't have went up to his room and opened his windows and said, you know, praise the Lord or whatever he did up there. And the scripture said he got delivered because he trusted God.
Yes.
See, whatever his life said, whatever his heart said, whatever his faith said is what his life had to match. How about David? Come on, what did he believe? He believed this. This day, the Lord is going to give you into my hand and tell me what was the fruit. That day, the Lord gave Goliath into his hand. Come on, are you seeing?
Yes, we are.
Joshua and Caleb, what did they believe? We're going in. Come on, what was their fruit? They went in. What did Abraham believe? We're going to have a son. I don't care how old we are. I don't care what's going on. I'm the father of many nations. Now, I'm telling you, I am. Come on, what did he get? Joseph, he had a dream, remember? What was his dream? People are going to bow down to me. I'm going to be an authority. Joseph is in the pit. What is he believing? I'm going to be an authority. Joseph's in Potiphar's house as a servant. I'm going to be an authority. Joseph's in the prison as a prisoner. I'm going to be an authority. What did he get? Second in command. Come on. How about Isaac? Isaac is in famine. What did he believe? God will provide for me. He sowed in famine and reaped 100-fold. Got so rich, the king said, you got to get out of here. You're making me look bad. Whatever a man believes, his life has no choice but to conform.
Amen.
Oh, this is good tonight. Gideon, what did he believe? It took him a while, but he believed.
Yes, he did.
He needed three fleeces and a goosebump, but he finally got there. And finally, he believed, we're going to go in with 300 and we're going to win. And tell me, come on, what happened? He won. Peter believed he was going to fall off the water, and what happened to him? He fell. Jesus believed he was going to walk, and what happened to Jesus? He walked. Come on, whatever your tree is, your life is.
Yeah.
Come on, can you take one more scripture? I got to pick out my favorite one out of all these left. One more. Matthew 12. So now what do we need? See, there's power in this faith tree, isn't there? And see, the power is your life has no choice but to match it. And faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And that means that faith will override natural law. Faith will override what life says you can have. The Lord said a couple of things to me. He said, God has set the system up so that your life has no choice but to line up with what you believe. Watch this now. Your life can't say no to what you believe. Did you hear me? Life can't look back at your faith and say no. Life has been designed to submit to belief. Come on, are you hearing this now? It's been designed that it will submit to what you believe. It's not going to rise up and say, no, I'm not changing. No, the Bible says that it has to change according to what you believe. Right? And faith is the victory that will overpower what the world says. It'll overpower natural law. So if that means it's got to do something impossible to see to it that your life matches what you believe, then it will.
Amen.
Doesn't matter how big it is. What did Jesus say? Matthew 12:33. What did he say? He said this. He said, make the tree good. And what will the fruit do? It'll follow the tree. Now, I don't know if we'll keep going on this next week. I keep thinking we're done, but then I get done preaching. I think, well, maybe not. But make the tree good. Notice he didn't deal with life. He didn't discuss fruit. Listen to me now. His focus wasn't on the fruit. So where should your focus not be? On the fruit. Don't be results focused. Be process focused. He didn't talk about the fruit because he knew if the tree was good, then the fruit would be good. So we don't even need to talk about the fruit. We need to be focused on the tree and consumed with the development of the tree. And don't be worried when you've been developing your tree for 6 months and nothing looks like it's changing. That doesn't even matter, because if this tree ever gets good and developed, then the fruit will be there. So it doesn't matter if it's not there yet. I'm focused on the tree. So I'm going to keep meditating the word, keep watering the tree, keep giving light to the tree, just stay in the word. Because when this tree develops, Jesus told me that the fruit has no choice but to be whatever the tree is. So if it's impossible, then I want to be focused on making the tree good. Not be consumed with what the fruit is saying. Because what we do is we look, and when the fruit's not there, then we start neglecting the tree. And your faith is the way to the result. Your apple tree is the way to apples. And if you want apples, I suggest you take care of that tree. You better be conscious of that tree. What did the first verse we say? He that tends to the fig tree is going to eat the fruit thereof. He that doesn't tend to it is not going to eat the fruit. Well, are you tending to your faith tree is my question. Are you watering it? Are you giving light? Or when it looks like it doesn't work, are you getting so discouraged that you take 3 weeks off and the tree's getting no water, no light, no development? It looks like Charlie Brown's Christmas tree. You got to grow it. Get focused on your faith tonight. And when I say it, don't misunderstand me. How would I get focused on my faith? I got to get focused on what God said to me. I got to get focused on Jesus. I got to look to him and what he said to me. As I do that, my faith will grow. But don't be conscious of your results. Forget the results. That doesn't even matter. He didn't say make the fruit good. He just said make the tree good. Just make your faith whatever you want to be in life. And then just trust that God will take care of the rest. He'll get it to show up. But he can't give you good fruit without a good tree. He's not going to override the law. Every seed produces after its own kind. He's not going to override the law. And the law says every seed produces after its own kind. And what that tells me is you can't have a broke, depressed, worried, stressed out, weak little tree and be a strong champion spirit Christian. But if you get the tree right, oh, man. And you know, God will take the littlest step of faith. I mean, you just start getting in faith in this, I'm telling you, God's going to come through the door and open up and, right, get involved.